I've asked permission to tell you his story. He sat with me in my office this week and told me about showed me pictures of his wife and his beautiful 6 children. He grew up, he lived in that village, and about 2,000 people in that village. He was part of the most prominent family in that village. They owned tons of land with olive trees, and he ran a construction business that is the prominent employer for his village. Most people work for him. He had some means then, so he would often travel from his little village because there he could enjoy food and wine. It was then that he met some Christians. Started to build a relationship with them, and they with him, and they started to give him books to read. And through that, he came to discover that Islam is a lie, and a horrible one. These are his words, not mine. A horrible one at that. And so he came to a very vibrant faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was not so welcome in his home village of 2,000 Muslims. 100% Muslim village. In fact, I should let you know, his given name, his given name is Muhammad. He doesn't like his given name. He will not go by that. He loves the Gospel of John. So he returns. He's still living in his village with his wife and 6 kids. And of course, he loves Jesus, so he starts to speak out for Jesus. Unfortunately, there are a lot of members of Hamas that live in his village. And so they call him on the phone and say, if you continue to speak about Jesus, we will cut your tongue out. And then later they call and they get his daughter on the phone, one of his children, and they say, listen, you tell your dad. We're now figuring out what we're going to do with him. If he leaves the house, we will kill him. It's hard to run a construction business when you can't leave your house. The way he described it to me, what it reminded me of is like the American Wild West, the Old West, where it's just whoever has a gun wins. He said, you can kill people, it's no problem. No, nobody gets in trouble. Who's a real threat? So he's hiding in his house, so he gets in his car. He has 2 of his younger kids with him in the back seat. He's driving down the road. There's a car blocking the roadway. And he has to stop, and 2 guys get out, and they have the headdress with the veil, and you can only see their eyes. And they come out, and they say, you're coming with us. He says, why? What have I done? Where are you taking me? Shut up. You're coming with us. What about my 2 kids? What am I going to do with them? You're coming with us. Fortunately, at that moment, the army jeep started coming down the road. They saw the lights. Now, convinced that these guys had weapons, and if Palestinians are caught with weapons, you go to jail for a long time. So these guys bolted, got in their car, and took off. Later then, he had to return home. Later then, some of his family, they were able to help where he applied for a visa. Now, he told me, he said, Pastor Rick, there's no reason I should have gotten it. It's a miracle that I got it. I had no papers with me. Everybody there had papers, and there's dozens of people applying for a few visas, and I got one. I have no idea how I got one. I got one. So they got him to America. He knew some people, so he ended up residing, of all places, in North Canton, Ohio. And he applied for a religious asylum. It's a long process. That means he's been here now 4 years. His wife and kids do not have a visa. His wife and kids are still back in his village, and he has not been able to see them for 4 years. He got involved in the chapel down in Green. As well, he got involved with a ministry called Bridges International. He would go to conferences on how to share his faith with Muslims, which I think is funny because he's really good at that. He needs a seminar on how to do that without getting killed, right? He eventually opened a restaurant. Some of you have heard me talk about it. I'm evangelistic now about Jesus community groups. I love this restaurant. It's a hole-in-the-wall takeout, Mediterranean food. It's healthy. It's yummy. My whole family likes it. It's a great little restaurant. He moved up here to Stowe. He and his business associate have been coming here over the last several months and call this church their home now. Just last week, he had his hearing for asylum, and he was denied because the judge said, the official position on paper is that you can convert to any religion and that's okay with them. He'd tell that to the 2,000 Muslims in his village and the Hamas guys, threatening to cut out his tongue. So he's sitting in my office and he's saying, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? If I appeal, it'll take another 2 years till that can be heard in Washington, D.C. And I can't go another 2 years without seeing my family. And they're done. They've had it. They can't go another 2 years without seeing me. So do I return to my village? If I do, I either have to die or renounce my faith. And it will be much harder on my family. Or do I try to relocate my family where I can worship Jesus and start to help them perhaps come to faith in Jesus as well? But if I do that, how do I afford to get back there? What do I do with my restaurant? How do I find a buyer if I try to sell it? Can I sell it? Can I get money to travel there and to get my family there? He said, I don't care about losing my restaurant or my house in the village or what. He has the nicest house in the village. I don't care. I care about my faith and I care about my family. What do I do? You can pray for him. But boy, it puts our struggles in perspective, doesn't it?